You're listening to the Way to Success Leadership Podcast, where our focus is on developing servant leaders of integrity.
Our vision is to raise up leaders of character who serve
and add value to their spheres of influence.
To produce dynamic leaders, we develop the whole person by cultivating servanthood,
building integrity,
and facilitating personal transformation.
And now, let's begin today's podcast interview.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Way to Success Leadership Podcast. This is Craig Holt, your host through the next few moments as we spend some time with just a person that I think you're going to really admire once you hear a bit about his story. And that's Randy Welsh, the founder of Jibu. And I'm going to ask him to talk briefly about his company. But first, I just want to welcome Randy to the podcast. Randy, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here, Craig, and really looking forward to talking with you.
Likewise, Randy, and I know you have a little bit of history with CEO Global, and if you want to take just a moment or two and just explain, I know there's probably some alumni listening that may have actually been in one of your sessions. So if you just take a moment and just talk about your history with CEO Global, that would be great.
Yeah, well, Jonathan and Robin are good friends. I knew them when they were first starting CEO Global. And absolutely one of my favorite organizations of all time, what they're doing. So I've been involved, I think, in trying to provide some encouragement and help for them along the way, and also spoken at a few of the sessions. So I absolutely love this program and love everything they're doing. And it's been an honor to be a small part from the beginning.
Well, and Randy, I know there's a number of folks that have heard you speak. And so any of you alumni out there that are recognizing Randy's voice, we know that you're smiling when you hear it. So with that, Randy, for those of you that maybe this is the first time they're hearing your voice, could you just give us a quick summary of kind of your history and then get us to Jibu, your company, and what that's all about?
Okay. Well, I've been an entrepreneur pretty much my whole life in various forms or another. And I'm not sure I would have said that about myself, actually, because they just seem sort of natural to me. But for the last 20 years or so, I've been up and before Jibu, I've been involved in the high tech sector with a numbers of startups that have been successful and then sold, mostly in the area of the space and space technology, satellites and those type of things here in the U.S. and sold a business in 2010 and just felt that I wanted to do something different. All along my career, I've been involved in the nonprofit sector on boards. I've done a lot of international travel. I've had a focus on leadership development. And when I would visit places like Africa, where we do most of our work right now, I'd always marvel at the billions of dollars that were being spent in these countries or given to folks in these countries, but having so little impact. And I just thought there's got to be a way to combine business and helping people and doing business well at the same time without compromising either. So when I sold the last business, that was my thought was I need to integrate both halves of my brain, like the compassionate giving part and the business part, and see if there's a way to bring those together, which was the sort of the seed thought behind Jibu.
Well, and Randy, you said a really, I think, powerful statement, which is combining business and helping people without compromising either. And I know probably some of our listeners are pretty heads down right now in MBA programs or master's degree programs. And would you mind just explaining, when you talk about combining business and helping people without compromising either, especially that without compromising either, what that means to you and how that relates to Jibu?
That's a great question. I think traditionally people have two pockets. They have the pocket with which they make money and invest and do normal life things. And then they have another pocket where they might give money away or try to help people or those type of things. And typically those two things have been kept separate.
Yes.
I think it's better. It's a better use in many cases to be able to find ways that's a win-win that doesn't create dependency for the people we're trying to help and give on our money, but enables them to solve their own problems with us as peer partners with them. So that's been my quest. Is there a way to partner with folks that have needs in a way that can make their lives better and have them be able to control their own destiny a bit better, and also have it be a win-win for myself as an investor or my friends who are investors? And so I just think there's a new paradigm needed, a new way of helping people from folks that have resources flowing to folks that might need help. So that's really, you know, the genesis of Jibu is doing that, is finding a business model that doesn't compromise either of those things. So I can just talk a little bit more about Jibu, Craig, if you want right now, or if you have another question.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you're rocking it right now. So, yeah, Randy, please continue.
Right. So what Jibu does is we equip entrepreneurs to start businesses to sell drinking water to underserved poor populations. We're focused in Africa for the time being. We're in three countries. We're in Uganda, Rwanda, and Kenya. And we're focused on urban areas, high population density areas. And we use a franchise model. And what we mean by that this is a for-profit business, but we have a special, we're organized under a special law in the U.S. that forces us actually to prioritize our charitable mission alongside profit making, so that we're forced to combine those two things. So in the franchise model, these potential entrepreneurs pay a fee up front, a licensing fee to us, for us to get them set up in a small storefront, the size of a small coffee shop. We then provide all the investment to bring in water filtration equipment, and the back half of the store functions as a mini water production facility. Mm-hmm. We locate within about 100 meters of a water source, draw the water into the store, and then the entrepreneurs, our franchisees, then sell water to about the 1 kilometer radius around their shops. So we map out cities with territories about 1 kilometer in size, almost the way cell towers work in a city. So you can get a cell signal about anywhere in the world these days. It's because cell towers are strategically placed, so everybody has coverage. We're trying to do the same thing with water. So we have a network of franchisees who cover a city to make access available to people that typically wouldn't have it. So that's the big idea behind Jibu.
Well, and it's just really neat, the blending of many different thought processes and approaches to the marketplace. Like you said, just your involvement in the tech sector and thinking about cell towers and the whole penetrate and radiate strategy. So a real pointed question, why water?
That's a good question. It's a very good question. Well, water is at the foundation of really everything else. And when you think about it, you can have the best roads, the best health care. You can even have lots of money. But if your health is bad, none of those things matter. And if you don't have good water, you're going to have bad health. It's just a fact of life. So we are a water company, but our vision has always been more than water, but water's the anchor product. And water is the foundation of a lot of other things. So we're even now experimenting with other products and services that our franchisees will sell from the store, but water is what drives the customers to the store on a daily basis. And we sell water, by the way, very cheaply, about a fourth of the price of, we sell in large quantities of like 20 liter, 5 gallon bottles, our own branded bottles, but it's about a fourth of the price in many countries of the other market. And it's about the same cost as what customers use to boil their water. Most of our customers either drink untreated water or they boil their water. And so we price the water at about that cost to make it affordable to underserved neighborhoods.
So I'm sure there was a lot of thought that and a lot of whiteboarding about different ideas. Do you recall some of those early days, the different ideas you had about just enabling this business and helping people with other companies, just to kind of give some thoughts to some of our listeners?
Oh, sure. Oh, we started with, and what we ended up with, were two pretty different things. We started focusing, the way most water companies do in the world, on rural areas and also on letting people bring their own bottles. And we very quickly were, you know, when we went in country and we're talking to people, people are saying, you know what, there's a really big need in the cities. And most of the nonprofits focus on the rural poorest of poor. And there's a really big need in the city, and the cities are growing. Why not focus there? That's an untapped need, mostly. And we've always thought, it seems so obvious now, but at the time it wasn't obvious. It's like, why would you produce good water and let customers put it in a dirty bottle? Because it just makes the water dirty. So, but many people said we would never be successful focusing on the cities, and that you know, you got it. People are too poor to be able to afford to, you know, buy a bottle. They buy a bottle as a deposit once, and then they buy a full bottle, and then they bring the empty bottle back for, and they just pay for the water from there forward as an exchange, sort of like the way a propane or gas tank would work.
Sure.
But there were many parts of what we started with, which was sort of following the pattern of what's happened typically. And by the way, nonprofits do a great job of reaching many of these rural areas. They drill wells, et cetera, but quite a high percentage. People have said maybe up to 40%, 50% of the water sources in these rural areas fail within a couple of years because there's no sustainability plan. And I think the reason why there's no sustainability is because there's no real financial ownership in those projects many times. Because when you're given something, maybe you don't treat it, you don't act the same way toward it when your livelihood's not dependent on it. So there's many things about that that we sort of said, we got to do it differently. If we want to change the game in terms of how money's invested and how water is delivered, we have to do something different and experiment and be willing to fail doing that too.
Oh, just, it's outstanding, Randy. We're coming up on just a few more minutes here. So I just want to hit you with just maybe one more question and then give you a chance to just add anything else you'd like about your company. But as you're aware, the Way to Success has a community service concept component to the program, and where they actually have the students think about this kind of thing. So the real pointed question, Randy, watching our time here is, did you think about a problem you could solve or a business that you could do that would help solve a problem?
Well, for sure. The problems we're attempting to solve are, there's a couple. One is obviously people having access to affordable, safe water every day is number one. Number two is jobs and ownership. There just aren't opportunities in many places for those to happen. So this is an ownership model. These franchisees own these businesses, and we license them to do business under our model and provide them with the resources to do it, but it's their business. So each of these franchises, you know, creates anywhere from 10 to 15 jobs, and we have hundreds of these now. So it's job creation and economic vitality, actually, that we're creating in these communities, which I think is one of the best things we can do. If we can create enterprises, social enterprises, focused that can do both things, both help people and raise the economic level of everyone, then I think that's a good thing. And that's what we're in it for.
So I just need to ask, Randy, as we're closing out here. So have you been asked to run for president yet? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Well, and it's wonderful. Randy, it's kind of tongue in cheek, but it's wonderful. Just as someone that has navigated the business community and life and really kind of shared with us in this few moments here about how you combine business and helping people without compromising either. I think you've really given us not only a real life example, but some inspiration as we go forward. So Randy, I just want to thank you right now for having a life that matters and choosing to take on a construct such as this and being a part of this initial podcast that we have. So, Randy, thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much, Craig.
Yeah, and we'll really look forward to, Randy, if you're available, the next time we get a chance to further discuss not only this, but some specific thoughts that you've had and involvement you've had with the Way to Success. So, folks, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Way to Success Leadership Podcast. Don't forget, we want to hear your questions, so visit ceoglobalusa.org to continue the conversation with us. Thanks again for listening, and remember to tune in next week.
You've been listening to the Way to Success Leadership Podcast, where our focus is on developing servant leaders of integrity.